It's been a really beautiful journey of integrating the nomenclature for Ayurveda with functional medicine and understanding the parallels and where they're different and charting what course feels the best for me as I treat patients. So I kind of borrow the best from both worlds. I think Ayurveda is a complete healing system. It is one of the most ancient, and if it's applied correctly, I think you can get all the answers you need. But it's also great to be able to address the modern patient with simple language that's in English and to be able to translate that simply.
Hello there, Brave Table fam. Welcome to another episode of The Brave Table. I'm your host, Dr. Neetha, and this is your oasis, your destination to be all things just a little bit more brave in your actions, in your relationships, and in your life. And today I have a question for you. What is your relationship with your health? Do you struggle to know more about different alternative modalities? Well, I have the perfect guest for you today. She is a dear friend. She is somebody that I've been longing to have on the Brave Table. She's been featured on the Natural Law documentary in her work in merging the modes of Ayurveda, as well as being a medically trained, Western medically trained doctor, and she's also a healer. Dr. Nisha Khanna is our guest today, and she is a board certified MD who has been practicing medicine since 2005. She pursued her Ayurvedic education under Vasant Lad, where she additionally studied the healing art of Marma therapy. Next, she co-led the Whole Foods Medical and Wellness Center while integrating the additional disciplines of functional medicine, mind-body therapies, and healing energy into her medical toolkit. Today, her unique multidisciplinary approach bridges Eastern and Western medicine, creating powerful, customized health solutions that produce transformative results for her private practice clients. Now, areas of gut disturbance, hormone balance, and vitality are all the things that we are digging into today. You are going to find her so informative. And if you've ever heard about doshas or what your doshas are, or how do you know if you are imbalanced, or how do you know if and your Western doctor is giving you the right information, or maybe you just want to go into a holistic approach, I've got the woman who has merged and bridged both worlds so beautifully in the way not only that she presents and the way that she is so gifted and knowledgeable in all of these different modalities. I think you are going to love her. And if you were ever curious about Ayurveda, or maybe if you are Pitta, Kapha, Vata, you are going to find out today, as well as how to alleviate some of these things and some of the herbs that you can actually start taking in your daily life and so much more. Well, here is Dr. Nisha Khanna. I think you are going to love her and fall in love with this conversation. Let's tune into this week's episode. Nisha, I'm so excited that we're finally doing this.
I am too.
It's been a while. And you have so much experience. When I think of you, you have just seamlessly blended your background in Western medicine and Eastern medicine, and now all of your healing modalities to arrive where you are. But I kind of want to go a little bit back. How did you realize that you wanted to blend the East and the West, and then to actually add in some of the healing modalities that I've experienced in your care and your presence? As well, as I know that we're going to get into today.
Well, I think it was a journey in exploration for what works. And I had this curiosity, how does my body work? Like, it was essentially, how does my body work that led me down this path to understand more about myself? And in that understanding, I kept asking more questions. In Western medicine, there's the term idiopathic, which is used a lot, which means we don't know. And so that wasn't good enough for me. I wanted to know. And so I kept exploring, and that led me back towards Eastern medicine and getting some answers. And then I finally had that framework that would help me understand disease in a way that I don't know wasn't a solution and it wasn't an answer.
Mm-hmm. Was there an actual like event or anything that happened for you, or like a light bulb that went off that you were like, I don't know about the Western path, or I need to add more elements of, you know, alternative modes of healing in?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question, because if I think back, my journey began with myself even years before I went to med school, and I reached for Ayurveda to heal myself. So when I was 15, I had like a nervous breakdown and I couldn't sleep. I was away from my family in boarding school. It was really tough, and there weren't very many solutions within Western medicine. And so that's when I first met my Ayurvedic teacher. So I went all the way to go study, well, to meet with Dr. Ladd, and then eventually ended up studying with him after med school.
Oh, wow. Was this in India or?
No, he lived at that time in New Mexico.
Oh, wow.
And had a school there for years, and they just moved to Asheville.
Wow. So how was that going through Ayurveda and learning Ayurveda, and how did that kind of impact the way that you would then practice medicine?
Well, I had been practicing medicine as a full-fledged internist, working in hospitals and clinics for about 2 years. And it was actually a bad marriage that made me want to escape from the East Coast to New Mexico. Mm. Or just find some place to escape to. And that escape ended up being, I want to go to Ayurvedic school.
As it does. I love when that happens.
And so I had been using Ayurveda for my own self-healing then since age 15. And so it felt like a good place to go and integrate and also figure out what was going on in my personal life. And I had a lot of confirmation, I would say, from the universe, from the environment, that I was in the right place. Because in med school, you choose residency. And during that year where you're choosing residency, nothing was jumping out to me. People were like, I want to be a cardiologist. I want to be a gastroenterologist. And for me, nothing was like, I want to do that. Integrative medicine didn't exist back then. This is like 2005. So I just didn't have that calling until I found Ayurveda. And I was like, oh, now I get it. That's why all that stuff didn't call to me. It's because Ayurveda is what speaks to my heart.
Hmm. And I just want to applaud you, because not very many people know who they are at 15. And for you to actually start your Ayurvedic journey first and then decide that you wanted to go to med school and then shift again and make that a really big and essential part of your life. What were some of the threads that you learned kind of now sitting where you are today? Who is that inner teen that wanted to kind of have this journey?
Well, I think it came out of necessity of not wanting to pursue the Western route. And actually, it was when I felt really fully seen by Dr. Ladd as his patient. He was like, there's nothing wrong with you. And when you're a teenager, to be told, like, there's nothing wrong with you by somebody you respect and admire was huge. And so he's like, there's nothing wrong with you. It's just that your dosha is a little bit out of balance. The vata's high. You know, if we can just bring that down through herbs, lifestyle, diet, then you'll be okay. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I was doing the exact things that you shouldn't do when you have high vata. So,
like what?
I was eating at the raw salad bar, like, you know, in boarding school. And that was, you know, I'm vegetarian. So I was focusing on vegetables. And so I was like, okay, salad all day, every day. And
I want to just stop you, because for those that don't really know what vata, pitta, kapha, the three doshas are, can you explain all of that for us?
Yeah. So vata most easily correlates to the air element. It's also air and space, but just for easy comprehension, we can say it represents air. For pitta, a simplistic way to view that is fire. And for kapha, it's earth. And so in this specific instance, the qualities of air were out of balance in me, meaning they were too high. And so in Ayurveda, there's a principle which is like increases like and opposites balance. So when you think of a raw salad bar and it's crunchy, it's dry, it's light compared to say like porridge or grains or
khichdi
stew. Yeah. And so that like quality of air was increasing the like quality of air within me and leading to insomnia, which is considered light. So like, for example, when you can't sleep, if you put a heavy weighted blanket on you, it can help. Or if you eat root vegetables, or if you add more healthy fats to your diet, these are all things that balance out that like quality. So again, like increases like, opposites balance. And so I was doing too much of the things that aggravate the air in me. So essentially, I was manifesting symptoms that are of increased quality of air.
So what were the symptoms that you had?
So I couldn't sleep, racing thoughts, anxiety. Those were the main ones.
So that would be considered like a vata imbalance.
Right. And then in its most extreme form, vata can manifest as really like the extreme end of psychiatric illness. So it could be schizophrenia, it could be bipolar, it could be various things like that. So there's never anything, you know, in Western medicine, we become so attached to labels and identifying, I have this disease, I have this disease, I am this. However, in Ayurveda, everything's on a spectrum. If you have insomnia or if you have schizophrenia, there's just a shift in how much vata is in your body. And how much is aggravated. So the way you bring things into balance is by essentially balancing with the heavier elements.
And the heavier elements would be like more kapha into your system.
Yeah, earth and water are the densest elements out of the five. Ether, air, fire, water, earth.
And so we're on this vata path. What would be pitta? Because pitta is like the fire, the get shit done, the go, 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 like let's make this happen. What are some of the examples of being maybe a pitta imbalance?
Yeah, so the qualities that you described just now are of the mind, the pitta mind. And so in the body, some of its first manifestations are hyperacidity and inflammation. And then as that pitta moves from its home in the GI tract and starts to circulate throughout the body, it can lodge in places of weakness. And so it could show up if people have genetic predisposition or they've had similar symptoms in the past, that pitta, when it gets aggravated too high, it will maybe show up as skin rashes or conjunctivitis or urinary tract infections. And so that's the beauty of Ayurveda is that you see things on a spectrum. You can catch them early. When you see them late, you start to bring that dosha back into balance, back to its home in the gut so that it can be eliminated and balanced.
And so for somebody like that, what would you recommend for a pitta imbalance? Is it more of the kapha or the vata?
Well, pitta is hot. So in Ayurveda, we think about the qualities of the element. So when you think of fire, it's heat, it's light because it can move up. It's got some other qualities that are oily. Not that doesn't translate directly when you think about fire, but it's also fire and water. Mm-hmm. It's runny, so it could lead to diarrhea if it's high.
And so that would make sense with like the anxiety and kind of, you know, the feeling stressed out, feeling overwhelmed. That would probably be like a pitta imbalance.
Well, actually, anxiety is vata because when you think about anxiety, it's mobile and it's the air, it's moving. It's like it's in the future. It's not grounded in the body. It's not grounded in the present moment. And so the pitta emotions are more of that fiery nature. It's perfectionism, it's frustration, it's anger, it's jealousy, it's self-judgment, judgment of others. So that those are the pitta qualities. It's pitta sharp. It's always like wrong, right, wrong, right. You know, there's a lot of duality in pitta.
Oh, I love this. I feel like we're getting a full masterclass on the doshas, which I think for so many people, you know, it's easy to take a quiz on our doshas, but I think to kind of round it off into how it can actually physically manifest, and you do a really good job of breaking it down as, you know, not only a Eastern doctor, but also a Western doctor. And to round this conversation off, tell us about the kapha, because I think of kapha and what we teach at, you know, for our Dharma Coaching Institute students, you know, kapha energy is like the grounding energy, the coaching energy, the teacher energy, the sage, the santh energy. What would you describe it as, and how would you describe kapha being out of balance?
Yeah, so it's interesting. When I think of the sage, I actually think of pitta, because pitta has the highest sattvic quality when it's in balance, because it can see so clearly and it's very good at being present and disciplined, which is necessary for sattva to manifest. And I see kapha as the nurturing, you know, the grounding that you spoke of, but also the nurturer. They're often the healers that like to do hands-on healing. They love to do customer service work. They love being in relationship with people. And they're sort of like the people that don't get a lot of accolades, but they are the glue that holds society together, and they're the glue that holds families together. And so they have a lot of beautiful qualities. They have the highest ojas, which is essentially that ooey-gooey emotion that you might think about when you think about the bond between a mother and a child. And when it's out of balance, however, because it is composed of the heaviest elements, it can mentally manifest as depression, lethargy in the body, metabolic syndrome, so diseases of excess, so high cholesterol, diabetes, heart disease, these are all kapha disorders, and weight gain. And so hypothyroidism, they all show up as excess kapha. And so it's just too much density in the body. Yeah. And so to balance them out, you would bring in more of the air and space.
Give the gift of Brave Conversations to yourself and to others. Now, the long-awaited Brave Conversations 6-week course is now available. And we've talked about having brave conversations, and honestly, the number one thing most people are afraid of is having brave conversations in their life. Now, don't let this stop you. No more ghosting, avoiding, suppressing, or denying. Learn how to share your voice boldly. In this 6-week action-packed course, you will learn the actual steps on how to have confidence and clarity, along with a brave support posse, so that you can practice in our community that meets twice a month, along with me as your coach in the process, with a jam-packed workbook to chart your journey, and for a limited time until November 28th, unleash the free Brave Conversation card deck and affirmation deck with purchase, so that you can practice right away and have deeper and more brave conversations in your life and be bold in those 2024 goals. Head over to neetabhushan.com. That's neetabhushan.com/brave conversations for an exclusive discounted rate for our Brave Table listeners. Now back to the show. So now, having all of this amazing knowledge and kind of, I'm guessing, this walk in life and this path, where are you at in your journey, and how do you now see patients? Because I've experienced one of your healings, which I would love for you to talk about as well. But now take us through how you see patients. How is it mostly Western? Is it a blend of both? Are you also taking, you know, now that functional medicine is such a huge part of what you do and it's become more mainstream, and knowing that Ayurveda is literally one of the oldest functional medicine, you know, systems out there, how does that relate to your practice today?
Yeah, so when I finished Ayurvedic training, I was just perplexed, like, okay, now what do I do? Because I'm an internist, I've got the MD, but I don't actually like anything about that, and Ayurveda is speaking to me, but I wanted to find a way to blend it, and functional medicine was that outlet. When I came to Austin, I joined a functional medicine practice and I was like, oh, this is amazing. It's speaking to the concepts of disease being rooted in the gut. And it talks about the adrenal glands and the importance of that. And I correlated that with Vata aggravation. And so it's been a really beautiful journey of integrating the nomenclature for Ayurveda with functional medicine and understanding the parallels and where they're different and charting what course feels the best for me as I treat patients. So I kind of borrow the best from both worlds. I think Ayurveda is a complete healing system. It is one of the most ancient. And if it's applied correctly, I think you can get all the answers you need. But it's also great to be able to address the modern patient with simple language that's in English and to be able to translate that simply and to be able to speak to things that are trends in, you know, our culture and supplements and be able to know when to use which supplements and when to use herbs and when you can combine the two and essentially create a very holistic treatment plan that has the mental aspects of the dosha, the physical aspects of diet that are unique to someone's constitution. It's not a, you know, one size fits all. Let's everybody do an anti-inflammatory protocol that's good for everyone, because that might not actually be good for a Vata constitution if they can't digest all that protein. They usually have weaker digestion. So it's really bio-individuality, I think, in a very holistic way when you can take Ayurveda but also integrate it with what's going to suit the patient and their understanding, but also what they want. Because some people want to see all the diagnostic tests. They're like, where's the data? It's not enough to just look at their tongue and check their pulse and be like, this is your treatment plan. And so it's really about just connecting with the mind of the other person, the mind and the heart, and figuring out what's going to create the most healing and then using those tools.
Yeah. And I feel like you do it in such a way where you have that kapha healing energy. And because I've even shared some of my like ailments with you after going through such a crazy big book launch. And like for me, everything was out of balance because also not having, you know, as much sleep and also having like two toddlers at home and like, you know, getting sleep deprived at night. What have you seen for all the mamas in the room listening, that is probably like the biggest indication of stress or burnout that you also help treat?
Yeah, I think it all begins in the postpartum period. And there's a saying in Ayurveda that it's like how you do postpartum can shift the trajectory of your life from, you could start out with an autoimmune condition, and if you do postpartum really well, heal that. But if you don't do it well, you could end up with an autoimmune condition or other problems. And so I think it really starts in that postpartum, like how much support does the mother have? How does she nurture herself and then in turn nurture her baby? And so it is a high Vata state in the postpartum. If you think about the fetus has left the uterus, that creates space, a chamber of space in the uterus. So that's Vata. And so all of the practices focused around postpartum are about balancing Vata, bringing that nurturing, that moisture, the binding of the abdomen to create that comfort and grounding. So it's that critical time that then could manifest as other conditions. And so in Ayurveda, Vata is considered the mover and shaker of all disease. So 70% of all disease occurs because of high Vata.
Wow. Of all disease?
All disease.
Of all disease?
All disease. Because if you think about it, it's the only thing that has movement. Pitta, water, and fire, earth, and water for kapha, those things don't move. In order to have pathology, it needs to move from its home in the gut to somewhere else in the body. So then it depends on this, where you have weakness. And that weakness in Ayurveda is called kavagunya. It's a place of space. It's like defective space. And that could be, there's genetic predisposition, you've had prior ailment in that area, various things cause that defective space, but then the disease lodges there next. Mm-hmm. So it could be anything. So for some women, it is the thyroid. So it starts off as a high vata state, and then the gunas, the qualities of the vata, are going to travel to wherever that area is that's weak. Mm-hmm. And that's where disease will start to form. The qualities of vata will begin to kind of amalgamate with that tissue and create an issue.
And how do you then support someone like that? If, you know, and I know we're probably going to have so many people start contacting you as well afterwards, because not only being an Ayurvedic practitioner, but a functional medicine practitioner who actually blends East and West, and you're also a healer as well, and you have these healing practices, you're actually going to share your healing practice with us, with our insider community. So take us through, if somebody is experiencing that, let's just say in the thyroid, how would you actually then support them from either traditional Eastern or Western modalities?
Yeah, so hypothyroidism is, it has so many different causes. There's an autoimmune component in some, but not in others. So if there's an autoimmune component, it often means that there's a lot of undigested material that is leading to that autoimmunity. So that needs to be removed. Mm-hmm. And then the Agni, or the body's metabolism, needs to be supported so that you don't keep creating more of that toxic waste. So that's one. But then outside of that, the thyroid is thought to, when it's malfunctioning in a hypo manner, so hypothyroidism, is thought to have both a vata component, which initially led to the disease, mm-hmm. and then a kapha component. And so that's really interesting because they're two polar opposites in terms of the doshas.
Right.
And it can be tricky as to, like, now how do you bring balance to something that's got these opposing qualities? So you have to be mindful to not push one out of balance as you're bringing the other one into balance. But for the most part, in these late stage manifestations where you have hypothyroidism, it's usually presenting as weight gain, lethargy, often mood disorders, constipation. And so it's important to treat the kapha by, again, opposites balancing, by bringing in heat. And
so, like, what, like warm stews, soups, blankets?
Well, heating herbs.
Okay. Saunas.
Saunas would be great. In Ayurveda, you typically don't heat the head. So it would be the saunas that are kind of, they start at the neck down. But it would be a detoxification process using heating herbs and spices and food, but also being mindful of the person's constitution so that you don't put that out of balance. Say they're pitta, then you have to be careful, like, that you're not going to increase their pitta as you do that. So it can be tricky, but mm-hmm. I do, you know, have various practices I'll take patients through for hypothyroidism that include everything from what to eat, what herbs to take, lifestyle practices, as well as certain pranayamas that can help. And those are breathwork practices and kind of creating that whole, that holistic plan.
Mm-hmm. What is your mission now for your patients and your practice?
My mission is to get to the very root of things. It's been really interesting because I always think I have the answer and then I'm like, there's more. So with functional medicine, when I found that and I was so excited about it, I was like, okay, this is root cause medicine. But then diving even further into Ayurveda, you know, seeking out more mentors and more training, I found that, oh wow, like there's even higher, you know, degrees of getting to the root cause mm-hmm. that often start in people's childhood. And so my mission at this point in time is to really unravel pathology to its, like, beginning roots so that we can do the deepest healing work.
And so before we get into our igniting round, if people want to know how they can get their doshas read and their constitutions known and perhaps even work with you and know more about all of your offerings, and we're going to talk a little bit about some of your healing modalities with our private insider community, where can we get a hold of you?
Yes. So I have a website. It's my name, nishakanamd.com. And I have some, actually, a course on Ayurveda there that helps guide you through how to find your dosha and see what's currently out of balance and then what are the basic dietary lifestyle herbal practices that bring it into balance. And understanding this concept of metabolism and waste and how to decrease that toxic waste in the body, which sometimes correlates with inflammation. So that's a good place. I just advise to be careful of doing dosha quizzes because it can be a lot more nuanced than what you see on a sheet. Typically, I'll check someone's pulse. I'm looking at their body type on how they express themselves. And so there's a lot of different parameters that go into understanding your constitution and what to actually do about it. Most people aren't walking around like fully balanced. And so you want to look at what is the dosha of the disease that's presenting or the symptoms that are presenting in conjunction with what is your innate constitution. Otherwise, you could propagate the disease further. Yeah. So, yeah.
So fascinating. And I feel like you are just such a wealth of knowledge and giving us like a masterclass today, Nisha. So as I bring up my conversation cards, one of the cards that I usually start out with is, what is your definition of what it means to be brave?
Brave. Ooh. To be brave, I think it means to look at yourself deeply and honestly and accept feedback and not just discredit something that doesn't feel good to you, but to just take into account how others are perceiving you, but not in a way that you're like overly conscious. But I think to be brave means to grow and to be open to growth.
I love that. So this is from our conversation card deck. What is a happy memory of you and your caretakers as a child? And what was the most challenging?
Ooh, happy memory. Okay. I think it was either Saturday or Sunday mornings waking up in my house with my family because I've been alone since I was 15. But up until those years, we would have the Indian music channel playing and just wake up to that and everybody's in their pajamas and slowly getting up and just lounging and, you know, like food is happening, families are just hanging out. And it was a really beautiful thing that I didn't think I was that, I don't know that I enjoyed it as much as I do in memory of it because I'm like, oh, wow, that was wonderful.
Where did you grow up?
Well, in London and then in Houston.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like those Indian channels, I remember doing that too. It was Saturday mornings and it would be playing like loud stream in the back and you're like, yep. And then at least for us in Chicago, then at like 11 o'clock, it would change and it would be like Soul Train. So it's such a like stark contrast. So what are some practices that are elevating you right now? Practices that are elevating you?
Well, I just finished, well, I'm in my third level of ALA, which is Ascension Leadership Academy. And there's been some huge shifts in that. And the thing that I've gotten the most out of is this affirmation statement that you come up with after you understand what your blocks are. And so I wrote it in like there was this high intensity time where everyone's cheering you on and you write out it's your contract or what you want to be in the world. And it usually comes from just understanding, okay, where have I been blocked? So I have that contract and it's got all the energy infused from that moment where I was so certain of this is what I want. And so I have my contract written out on this like big piece of paper. And essentially you just say it to yourself anytime you feel like you can't do something or you're blocked or whatever. And so my contract is, I am a generous, courageous, free woman. And you just pick three adjectives, essentially. And so I say that whenever I don't feel those things.
I love it. I mean, I think it's, and I love Jenna Phillips Ballard, the founder of ALA, and she's one of our dear friends, and we'll put her episode in the show notes. She has such a great program, and I'm so glad that you have gotten so much benefit out of ALA. It's just so powerful. So bringing it back to our incredible, juicy conversation around Ayurveda, what is one word that describes this season of life?
Expansion.
Mm-hmm. I see that. Thank you so much, Dr. Nisha. You've been a friend. You've been just like a functional medicine mentor. You were one of the people that literally was like giving me the Marma healings when I was going through such a massive, crazy time. And we're going to go deeper into what that experience was like for our insiders. So if you're curious about that, head over to thebravetable.com/insiders for more. And I cannot wait for you to spread more of your magic out in the world, especially with this big mission that you have. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much. It was so great to be here.
Until next time on The Brave Table. Dr. Nisha Khanna is so amazing. And if you are curious to know maybe more about your doshas, or maybe you are looking for a holistic provider that can bridge East meets West, can also bridge understanding maybe allopathy with Eastern modalities. She's also a healer, and I've done many of her healings, including her Marma therapy. She did that with me right before my book launch, and it was such a beautiful healing session. And there were different points that she had touched from my head to my toes, and it was a combination of Reiki and also just energetic healing. She is just such a wise wisdom witch sage, and she's got an MD behind it. So I've just learned so much from her. And if you want to know more, she is Nisha Khanna, MD. That's Nisha Khanna, khannamd.com. And she is also Nisha Khanna, MD on Instagram. And if you are looking to go deeper into your healing journey, episode 129, How to Reverse Aging and Hydrate Yourself with my girlfriend, Tracy Dews, we go into all of the tactics, and I think you're going to love that episode. Episode 111, Red Light Therapy and Detoxing with Lauren Berlingeri. She is the founder of Higher Dose and the infrared saunas that I actually have in my home, as well as 116, redefining what it means to age well and embracing your menstrual cycles. This is one of my favorite episodes. This is with Dr. Stephanie Estima. She is just profound in her knowledge of the wisdom of the womb, as well as she is also a chiropractor slash studied with neuroscience. And she just brings all of the best wisdom with aging well and your hormones and your musculature health, as well as knowing when to work with your cycle. So all of this and more, thank you so much for tuning in. If you love this episode, we would love for you to share it with a friend, share it with a coworker, share it with a bestie of yours. And don't forget, if you have not given us a 5-star review, what are you waiting for? Please go to iTunes, scroll all the way down and click add review, put your 5 stars in, and tell us what you loved about the show, how it's changed your life, how you've loved perhaps maybe listening to my voice or being part of the community. And we always love, love, love your suggestions. When you screenshot your review and send it to support@globalgrit.co, you will get a special gift from us. So screenshot it and send it to support@globalgrit.co. This helps us so much get into the hands of more and more people when we have more reviews in our inbox. Thank you so much. And don't forget to be just a little bit more brave.